things and a good marriage, and I felt less than a father because I jacked up so much, you know, before I got born again. I hadn't been saved very long, and I began to see how that I would hurt people's stuff. And I was carrying all of that, and God wanted me to lay it down. He wanted me to lay it all down outside that church. And you know what? I, by faith, somebody say, by faith. You got to serve God by faith, trusting Him. What He tells you to do, you can do it and trust Him. And so I just imagine, and you can use your imagination. God gave it to you. I used my imagination of coming out of those coveralls. And when I did it, I honestly felt free. And I stepped through that door, and I mean, church would had never been that good to me at that moment before ever. Because I laid it all down outside, and I didn't have one thought about it when I went in there, just keeping my eyes on Jesus and singing. So, but what I'm saying, I had to do it by faith. And then when I went in, and you know what, from that point up to now, he's teaching you. He'll teach you. You just start it, Beth. Lean on the Lord. That's the title of it. Lean on Him. Lean on me. When you're not strong, you got a friend, somebody to lean on. I know it talks about brothers, but we're talking about Jesus. He is one that sticks closer to you than a brother. If you are born again, you have the King of Kings in your life. He's in you, Christ Jesus in you. And you can learn to lean on that. You can learn to give all of your troubles to the Lord. You know, I mean, I know that I would not be where I'm at today, and I'm way away from where I'm going to be in the Lord, but in my life, had I not given my life to Jesus. He's not a religion, and I've never been religious. I've been around religious folk, you know, and that means they try to do this church thing and Jesus thing and quoting scripture thing without Jesus. You know, you get formulas together. You learn the scripture. No, you got to learn Him. Learn Him. Learn to lean on Him. You know, so church is supposed to be, and is, and I believe it to be. I release my faith every time I come here and I say, God, Your word will not return void. It'll do what You give it to do for me. And everybody that hears, that's willing to hear and obedient to You, willingness will help you be obedient to the Lord. If you're willing to lean on Him, willing to trust in Him. I don't listen to much Facebook preaching. Facebook is not where I feed. I feed in His presence. I feed on meditating on the Word of God. I feed, my life is hid. Your life is hid in God through Christ Jesus. That means you're in Him, and that means don't let things out here influence you too much to what life is about. This world is jacked up from the floor up about marriage, about kids, about fathers, about mothers, about church. They are jacked up from the floor up, and they don't have what it takes for us to grow up. I don't want to stay ignorant about things. Hallelujah. I mean, it's like I've got me a brand new woman. Just revelation coming, that's all. I mean, that's all it is. She's seeking. You know why? She tells the story, y'all all know it. And I don't know how to fix nothing. See, if you're messed up, they can't nobody fix you. People can't fix you. Systems can't fix you. Jail don't fix me. Jail made me mad. I'm trying to cut the bars out. Then I'm going to kill that drunk over there trying to solve the rest of it out. You know, I'm mad at him because I'm in there with him. And he's going Looney Tunes over there. And I finally just tell him, shut up and sit down, old man. I'm thinking, I'm fixing to slap you down. You're driving me nuts here. You know, well, I decided while I was in there, I sat up on the table, went and stole everybody's blankets and stuff. I told that jailer, I said, hey, I was in shorts. And it was cold in there. That's all I had on, shorts. Cut foot and shorts. And they'll take you to jail naked, I reckon. However tree falls, that's the way they get you. Anyways, I mean, I go over there and dude over there snoring. I can't even go to the bathroom. And I tell a jailer, hey, man, bring me a blanket in here. He said, well, the jail's full. They ain't none. I said, oh, okay. I said, all right, fine. Don't bring me one. So, dude, over there, I just went and jerked it out from under him and got his pillow and waited on him to wake up. I thought if he wakes up, I'll put him back to sleep. Like, God, I'm not going to freeze in this jail cell. Well, once I got born again, see, I don't tell that. I was a dumb, ignorant. That's why I was in there. Anybody lets their wife throw the beer out of the car and then go back down drunk and the law behind you looking for it on the wrong side of the road, thinking y'all go around. And they're like, we're the cops. But I got born again. See, look, all I was headed was to prison. Some of us are, without Jesus, we go to, not some of us, we go down jacked up roads. We veering off. We're off of the path that God and the plan that God has for us. And we leave us to ourselves, and we will bring destruction somehow to our marriages, to our kids. I thank God I would have raised Travis. I would have raised him long hair. Nothing wrong with long hair. I mean, I'd have purple if y'all would listen to me. And I'm just concerned that if I come up here with a purple afro, that I just wouldn't get the respect that I would. But the afro wouldn't change me. I just look stupid. But I got born again, and look where I'm at here 30 years later. I'm here, and my sole purpose in life is to fulfill the will of God for my life. That's what all of us need to want. If every one of us, our sole purpose is to be pleasing to the Lord, you know, not just for Him to fix our lives so we feel better. No, grow us up, Lord, so we are better, so we stand firm, so we stand strong, so we stand against the enemy, that we don't know that is speaking to us and leading us down the road of destruction. Because really, all we are created by the Lord. We're created in His image and His likeness, and He created us for Himself. And then when we're going and filling ourselves with Himself, then we feel fulfilled in life. That's human mankind. We're not donkeys that carry weights. Mules and donkeys carry weights. We're created to worship, to trust. I mean, that's when we begin to find life. That's why once I got born again, I felt better. I'm like, oh, man, what happened to me? I didn't know what happened to me. I'm like, I don't know what happened to me. And then now I want to listen to preaching. Now I want to go to church. Why? Because now I am identifying with who I was created to be and don't even know it. I was created to live for Him. I was created to worship Him. I was created to serve Him. You were created to serve the Lord. But the enemy, the Bible says that Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. And his sole purpose here on this earth is to bring destruction to everything that has anything to do with God in your life. Whether it's prosperity, whether it's houses, whether it's land, a good job. You know, I've learned to enjoy working. That is a miracle. I mean, that is a soul miracle. I'm anxious on Monday. I'm like, got to go to work. Ooh, yes, baby. Thank you, Lord. Get up and say, oh, glory to God. Thank you, God, for your grace today on our work, Lord. That you said you would bless the works of my hands, God. You said I would enjoy the fruit of my labor. I'm building a building up there to party in. I built the doors. They look pretty good, Johnny. Beth said it makes it look rich. Cost me $20 worth of lumber. You know, and so I'm down there and told Teresa, I went down there. Now I'm working long on it, you know. I mean, I'm after it to get it done, you know, and everything. And so I told her, sitting there, and I said, ooh, yeah. I said, I'm almost, I mean, I'm starting down. I can see the finish line, so to speak. And I told her, I said, it ain't going to be long. I said, I'm going to set up there and enjoy the works of my hands. And I thought about it. I thought, God, you know, anybody would get, a lot of people would get burnt out. I've run into this and run into that and my starter burns up. I mean, but it's been that way this whole journey of mine for 30 years that things try to get in the way of the will of God in my life. And I find out, try to find out what the will of God is. And everything that has come against that, that I have stood against and stayed in the right spirit, came to nothing. I know what I'm saying may seem far off to you, to some of you, because you may be where you can't see just right in front of you far as a future. But see, vision comes from the Lord. And things are hidden from us, for us. And when we seek Him, they're revealed to us. And once we get born again, the Bible begins to bring light. See, I preach about tithes and offerings, and I mean, Christians will be like, oh my God, there he goes about that money again. They're going to stay miserable with their wealth. You can have plenty of money and be miserable. I stood in the presence of a 90-something-year-old millionaire. I'm talking about probably $2 or $3 million. And you know, he said, I'm talking to him about Jesus. I told him the story about Nicodemus. You know, I wasn't trying to get his money or anything. I knew that money, he can put it in that coffin, but that's where it's going to stay. It's going to be in that coffin. And I told him, I says, don't leave here without knowing Jesus. Don't leave here without it. He's an old man. He's having stomach troubles. He died. He's dead now. But the thing about it is, he told me, he said, I've made so much. I mean, this dude don't need for nothing in Hatton. He borrowed $700 his whole life and worked the rest of it, however he did, and became a millionaire. Borrowed $70. I'm sorry, it was $70 his whole life. But he told me, he said, I've made so much money, I'm not comfortable. I told him, I said, I can't wrap my head around that. Man, I would have me a mansion, bass boats, and I mean, I would have a yard full of Corvettes. And I mean, if I had your kind of money, I wouldn't leave Travis none of it. But God, I'd have every kind of souped up Chevy, Nova, Camaro. I don't care if it costs $250,000. Big deal if I got that kind of money. Just go get it. But he couldn't turn loose in none of it. Why? Money had him. See, if money ain't got you, then God can just pour things into your life, because you'll stand in church and say, stand up back there, is anybody in here broke? And you can't help it. It won't be the pastor, it'll be you. Is anybody in here broke this morning? Quickly slip you. Don't give the congregation too long to think on it. Everybody will raise their hands. You got to do say, quickly. Quickly slip your hand up. That's why I did that. So I ain't getting rid of more than I have to. It'll be you. Stand up. Anybody in here plumb broke? Slip your hand up. Hurry. And then you're just waiting on the hands, praise God. And you say, come here. And look, don't do like Dylan. No. I went in one time at McDonald's, and I'm standing there, and God, I'm not down you, Dylan. But don't ever refuse a blessing of the Lord ever. Don't feel ashamed. You tell me, God, this guy called me one time, and I was in need. I was broke, Dylan. But I'm trusting God. I'd read the scripture where I'm fixing to read to you. I'd read the scripture, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, but cursed is the man that trusteth in man. And I was getting that settled in my heart, and I'm believing God. I didn't go to the church and tell the church I was in need. I didn't tell my brothers out here where they can know where they can give if they're led. That's witchcraft. But I'm trusting the Lord. Ain't nobody knows it, me and Teresa and the Lord. And he got a phone call, and this guy, he said, I've been wrestling with Lord Brother Scotty for 3 weeks. I said, what about? He said, they told me 3 weeks ago to give you $500. I said, where are you at? You have got my money. Well, I'm out on Straight Mountain. I said, I'm leaving right now because you got my money. It ain't his money no more. God told him to give me $500, right? I'm believing God for $500, right? And that didn't, I mean, ain't nobody told him nothing. He been wrestling around with God. That's dumb. Don't y'all wrestle with God. Because if he tells y'all to give me a Corvette, don't wrestle with him. I need to be looking good. I don't need to be like, God, where is that Corvette? Where is it? Where is it? Well, you know, I'm in McDonald's. See, when you lean on the Lord, you will be blessed. Then you will become a blessing. You will be a conduit. You won't come to the place where you're trying to believe God just to meet your needs. He'll bring you to a place to where he said, I come that you might have life to the abundant, to the full, till it overflows. That means nothing missing. No finances missing. Your tractor starter burns up, you just buy another one. You don't even think about it. You're like, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. But then, see, your heart will be giving glory to God because you've trusted in him all this time and you've come up and up and up and up. Now your heart is continually giving God glory. You don't even have to, by faith, do it anymore. You're just giving God glory because he's brought you to a place of more than enough. More than enough faith, more than enough joy, more than enough strength, more than enough courage, more than enough fight. You don't even have to get in there and battle it out with the devil no more. You're like, why don't you just bring it on? Come on, sucker. Leave them alone. Come over here. God don't even have to say, have you considered Johnny? Johnny's out there. You mess with me, devil. I tapped Ty on the shoulder. He's a wrestler. See, I'm not scared of wrestlers. This is why. I'm a boxer. You know, boxing and wrestling is two different things. I didn't tell him that. I told him, I went, poof. I kept hit him on the shoulder. I said, I don't wrestle. He's standing there wondering what that means. He said, what does that mean? I said, I box. I said, I stay away from you. Because I know if he gets me, he can get me in a headlock, put me to sleep. Because I don't know how to get out of it. He does. He knows how to get out of it. You know, I'm serious, don't you? I mean, you slam me down. I asked Johnny, I said, did you ever wrestle with him? Nah. Daddy ain't scared of you. Just respect. You better keep it straight. Because you were counted as a deadly weapon, Jack. You learn to box, your fists are weapons, right? And so I told him, I said, I stay away from you. What I mean by, I'm going to get him coming in. You know, come on. He going to look for them smooth moves, you know. But he ain't going to get none because I'm looking at his eye, not see his body. Now, I'm being funny, but that's why I do the devil. You know, I'm not ignorant of his devices. I know he wants you in a wrong spirit. I know he wants you mad. I know he wants you offended. I know he wants you discouraged and down and out. And he wants you desperate and wants all of y'all just crying. No, nobody does. I told Satan yesterday, I said, I feel your presence. I went down there to Teresa. I said, walked down there and I said, do you feel anything around here? Yeah, I felt it ever since you, the tractor deal and the starter and all that. She said, I felt it. See, when you're close to the Lord, you'll feel the devil. But if you ain't close to the Lord yielding to him, you just think it's natural. But when you're walking with the Lord and you don't got that inward peace, I don't care what's going on in your life, you are yielding to a wrong spirit, yielding to the flesh, yielding to something. Whether it's over your light bill or whether it's over your kids on drugs or whether it's over, we're to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says walk in the Spirit and you won't get oppressed. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desire. See, the church sometimes looks at that like, I won't have no sexual desires, it's not good. All of that's in there. But that means walk in the Spirit and Satan can't get me oppressed. Satan can't get me discouraged. Satan can't get me to believe that God blowed my tractor starter up. Satan can't get me to believe that half of y'all don't love me and you ain't coming back because I preach a hard sermon. Satan can't get me to believe when I'm walking in the Spirit. It's not hard to walk in the Spirit. You walk yielding to the Spirit. You don't yield to anger.
I
mean, I have a bunch of critics. And it's not y'all. Y'all are wonderful. Y'all are wonderful. Y'all cheer me on here. Y'all come back every week. And some of you may go home and say, I could have preached it better than that. But we'll let you. I can't even get you to start service off, so don't let Satan fool you on that kind of stuff. Get a bunch of pride going on. You can't do nothing without him. We have an anointing to do what we do. We have an anointing to operate in that calling. You have an anointing to be a father. You have an anointing to be a son. You have an anointing to be a daughter. You have an anointing we don't even know how to be unless we get the Bible for our guide and then lean on him for our strength and to do it. People have told me year after year, well, I would go to church, but my car. And then you see them down yonder at the beach. Well, how'd y'all get down here? Did your car just all, God heal it right quick for the beach? Well, no, we borrowed. I borrowed. I said, why don't you borrow one to go to church? Come on, if you can borrow one for the beach, you're desperate. You want the beach. You desire the beach. You're going to the beach if you have to walk. By golly, but when it comes to the things of God, oh God, nobody knows. Nobody knows. God, you understand. You know my heart. You know, God, you understand that I don't have the ability. And God all the time is saying, lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge me. I bet you the world could convince me without Jesus to be a girl. Long hair, get me a wig. Make me feel like it. If I get around those spirits, Johnny, I won't feel like a man. I'll feel like a little, I better not cuss, like Satan wants me to, worm. See, I know that Satan's jacked up from the floor up. And I know that I'm not going to yield to him because I don't want y'all to see me jacked up from the floor up. Right? Because we're supposed to be witnesses, right? But we can't be witnesses if we're yielding and jacked up like Satan's jacked up. And I know we sometimes we don't feel we have the ability. That's good. You are vulnerable to the Lord. Because when you're, the Bible says, when you're weak, then are you made strong. Why? Because he wants you to rely on his strength. He wants you to rely on him to keep your marriage. He wants you to rely on him to give you increase at work. He wants you to rely on him to keep you out of prison and out of away from the culture that is going downhill quick. I mean, if you're a woman, you was created by the Lord. You ain't supposed to be no man. Women are not supposed to be with women. The Bible says in the Bible, now I'm just talking about the Bible, okay, just the Bible. It says that that is an abomination to the Lord for a woman to be with a woman. So that's how jacked up that is. Well, I feel it. Or a man with a man. God, I can't even imagine it. I mean, that is nasty. Seriously nasty. I won't even think more about that one. But, I mean, for Satan to try to convince me of that junk, Johnny. And he ain't going to do it in my church. I ain't marrying you. I'll marry you to Jesus. Well, I'll preach a funeral. But I will not jack you up about that. And then you got little kids. I mean, they've got dog boxes for kids in honey out of school. Just in case they feel like they want to be a dog, Johnny. Ain't that stupid? I mean, this is real. We have a real antichrist spirit that is operating in our school systems, operating in our law enforcement systems, and all different kinds of things. But we, the body of Christ, and I mean, it's not that we're down here. They're saying that we got to get along with the program. but it's the program of Antichrist. So the church, and all of y'all young ladies that think you're supposed to be with a woman, you are not supposed to be with a woman. I'm not talking just in this house right here. I know, when I was yielding to Antichrist, I actually literally thought about being, what do they call them now? Like if a man and a wife and then another man and wife swap up. What do they call that? Swanger. I thought, well, we've done everything else. Just back before I got saved. No, Teresa didn't know nothing about it. I'd get mad telling her then because I was jealous. I ain't going to tell her because she'd go talking about that, and then I'll bust her up. You know, I can think about it and talk about it, but we ain't discussing that right now. But see what I'm saying? I was on the edge of this demonic spirit taking my wife and my life down into bad stuff. But I've never wanted to go with a man. I am a man. I'm him. I'm a man. God made me that way. And I've always felt that way, even no matter how jacked up I was on drugs. I mean, some of this stuff they smoke today, I mean, you know, it's like they're like little rats running around. Toothbrush scrub the wall. I'm thinking, God, man, y'all, this stuff makes y'all stupid. You know, man, if you don't, I told one guy, I said, look, man, if you're going to do drugs, why don't you get some real pot? Go get some real acid. Find some real stuff where you take trips and don't leave your living room, but you don't act stupid. You just party for the weekend. But see how deep Satan takes them, make it all out of battery acid. Look, my triple 13 went up because of these drug heads. How do I have a license to get a bag of triple 13? Duracell batteries. Are you okay? I'm like, what, man? I need some batteries for my flashlight. I'm like, what do you mean I'm okay? You going to ID me over batteries? Well, they're taking the batteries apart and using the acid. I didn't know how deep it was. I didn't know sinus medicine would get you that high. They're cooking it up. Cooking it up. See, the church is supposed to come on up into the God, up into the things of God. And we are going to be against that same-sex marriage. You got to be. You got to be against abortion. You cannot, I don't care what right they think they have, don't get in the bed. Don't blame it on the baby. You'll mess your life up. And the husband, yeah, let's do it because I ain't paying no child support and I'm not sticking with you, baby. Come on, somebody. I mean, I know we're learning. I'm revealing some things here. See, the blessing of the Lord makes you who you are. It's who you created to be and productive. Let me ask you, if a woman gets with a woman, how are they going to multiply? Like Genesis said. We need some more of these women kids running around here. Two men. I mean, I seen them kiss, two men kissing on an advertisement last night. I mean, they're kissing. And I'm like, oh my God, can't believe this junk's in my living room. It's some kind of pill just because you get disease, you know, and it helps keep it down or something. Herpes or something. And the guys are kissing. We're not all broke out. I'm like, y'all broke out. You just don't know you broke out. You are broke out. I mean, just, I'm making it funny, but I'm sitting there, man, I can't even sit there and watch this. Now look, you get a generation, young generation, that they just show this stuff, and then they're like, well, it's normal. It's just normal. You know, well, I mean, everybody does it, you know? I mean, everybody does. We're not everybody. We're children of the Most High God, and we go God's way. I'm satisfied it's God's way or no way, and I'm not giving in to it. This culture puts pressure on me as a pastor. This culture puts pressure on me. And then sometimes I feel I come and I preach like kind of like I'm preaching right now, because some people, they're like, well, Brother Scott, he's just a little overboard. I mean, you're supposed to love people. I didn't say nothing about loving nobody. I said what God said. I'm supposed to love what God loves. He hates that stuff. He don't hate people, but he hates that stuff. That's why he sent Jesus, so that if they'll get right with Jesus, he delivered them from that stuff. He delivered them from that those feelings and emotions. And I mean, we can't be feeling and emotionally controlled. I mean, I'm going to serve God without treason. You've got to have it in your heart that you are going to serve God alone if you have to. You hear me? Well, it'd just be a lot easier if my wife would. Yes, it would, but come on, suck it up, buttercup. Jesus died personally for me, and if Teresa ain't going, I'm not following. If I ain't going, she shouldn't follow. She shouldn't submit to ungodliness because I want to. Right? Yeah, but you're the head of the house. As long as I'm in the Lord. If I'm trying to get her to go in a direction away from the Lord, she's not obligated to me. She's obligated to God now. Right? That don't mean she necessarily has to leave me, just don't follow me everything I go to. Right? I mean, I told Beth, I said, how do I top that teaching? Sunday school this morning. How do I top that? That was some good stuff. Now I'm sitting back there and I'm like, God, where's she getting all this information? God, man, she knows more about this than I do. God, I don't, that's the way I'm feeling. I'm sitting back there. I'm like, I might be a pretty good husband. Maybe she'll bring some more stuff out where I'll know, because I think I'm all right, But when you get in, I mean, you might be 30 watt, a 30 watt light. You get in there with 100 watt, whoo! All of a sudden, you feel like a damn bub. You're like, y'all tone it down. I don't preach too much on that. Don't talk about hear that at church. Don't talk about out of here. Come on, we're trying to take vacation from that. We hear it at church. Now we got to hear it out here. You do if you're in blind overhead doors presence. I got license to be where I'm at. In the business, and I'm licensed to preach. But more than that, I'm ordained by the Lord. You're ordained by the Lord. Give me some scripture, Beth, or I'll just preach the whole hour. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. He's got to be. For you to grow. He's got to be. For you to get your desires met. He's got to be your trust. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. I understand what David meant when David said, I would have fainted lest I bleed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. What that meant to me back under is I didn't have a lot of knowledge like I do now, but knowledge puffed up don't get you nowhere either. Humility, trust in the Lord. Trust in Him to bring everything to pass. That's where your strength comes from. But I would have fainted. I would have fainted in my marriage. Not just because, I mean, she ain't that. I mean, she's saying right now, and I'm like, well, man, you're taking this too far about yourself. She's always been a good woman. Always loved me. Always been there for me. Not always took care of me. But, I mean, pretty much the big part, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it ain't like 39 years of hell like she preaches it. It ain't been. I enjoy it. I sharpened my skills. I found out down there in James chapter 1 when I went to the Lord about her. Just like you do your problems, your kids, your light bills. I went to the Lord and I said, God, I can't do this. I can't preach married to this woman. Maybe I was not saved and I married the wrong one. And the Lord said, it's not her, it's you. And I thought, you don't know her like I do. That's what I'm thinking. He don't have to live with her. He don't have to come in, and hear all of this stuff and blah, 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 And the Lord said, it's not her. He said, it's you. And so I thought, I went off, you know, I thought about that. I thought, well, I mean, he is God. I mean, surely he knows more than I do. You know, I mean, he's up there looking down. He sees everything, you know, and Scripture bears it out. The Bible says he knows Scotty's, yours, all of our thoughts from afar. That's amazing. He knows when you're discouraged over the thoughts. That's why he carries you to church and gives you a message on thoughts. Right? You think you're all oppressed because your dog's half dead. But the problem is you could have joy over the dog dying, getting out of its misery. Right? Send on to heaven with God. Praise the Lord. But he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be, that's me, that's mine. Oh, hallelujah. I don't feel that way. Get it, take it, eat it, look at it, receive it. Open your heart up to it. If everybody, no, don't think about everybody. Well, if my life, no, don't think about your life, Bill. Take it, take it, take it. Say, that is mine, God. I might not see it. I might not feel it. I feel half backslid today. But God, that is mine because you said it. He said, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. You know, I've had trees that I don't, big trees that's been around for years. I've lived where I'm at for 16 years, going on 17, I guess. And I mean, they some huge oak, big red oaks. I don't like cutting none of my trees, you know. But I go through the woods every year and I see if any of them's died, Johnny. Because I'm not going to let them rot down. I'm going to cut them up, burn them up, use them for wood, heat. And every drought, I lose some big trees, D. Because a big tree needs a lot of water. And it will die without water. I come in the other day, and Teresa's doing this patio stuff, some of it, checking it out, got her some squash. We're going to have watermelons running around the porch. You'll have a garden. I mean, she got cucumbers. She just don't know how far them can run. You got cucumbers hanging off. They're going to be hanging off everywhere, you know. And I told her, I said, the main source, the main thing to be successful is going to be watering them. Because they're not going to get a lot of outside natural water. And so every plant requires water. Every human requires the washing by the water, by the word. The nutrients that we get. Okay, I pulled up and I'm like, I told Tree, I'm looking at it. It made a plant. It's got a tomato on it, Johnny. We stole it. I didn't steal it. But I bought it for her. I get $20 for it. It's already got a big tomato on it, man. I just got mine in the ground. They're not even blooming yet. This one done got a big tomato on it. That excites me. Well, anyways, I get out and I look at that tomato plant. And it's kind of curling up at the top. I said, hey. I said, this tomato plant's curling a little. And I look down there, dirt's about that deep. The plant's that high. And it's just, you know, and I said, better get that out in the, I said it gentle. Need to get that out. I don't need no help now. I mean, you go down there, you got the whole garden out there. And I mean, I'll get to it. And I come in the next day and it's still wilting. And I mean, the poor tomato plant. I'm feeling sorry for the tomato plant. That's why I feel sorry for you when you're in oppression. I feel for you. I hate it for you. It bothers me. When you're oppressed, when you're under stress. That's why I have to come and preach this. So you come out from under. You can be in prison. Paul was. And had the joy of the Lord was his strength. I mean, he's been beat and whipped and drug out of the city, left for dead. Ain't none of us went through anything close, I don't guess, that Paul has went through. And he stood strong. He's the one that said, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. So not anything that comes into your life or into your, if you don't focus on it and let it be your everything and let it be your attention, let God be your attention. And he said you'll be like a tree planted by the waters, and spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he come. Let the devil rage. Let the economy fall. Let the people rage. But he said, you won't even come near you. You're going to see it. You're going to hear about it. You go, and you'll be like, woo, it's good to serve God. Oh, yeah, I remember a time when I was there, Lord. But, boy, you strengthened me, and God will say, yeah. You know why? Because you traded in your sorrows. You traded in your pain. You traded in your poverty. You traded in your fears. You traded it all in for the joy of the Lord. You traded it in. You gave it up. People ask me sometimes, they say, do you ever have any problem? I'll say, no, I give it away. They'll be like, give it away? Who'd you give it to? I said, Jesus. I gave it to him. I gave him my problem. I'm like, here, Lord, it's your problem. I ain't taking that. You might think that's stupid. You try it and see how free you get. You give your life to Jesus. I'm already saved. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about deeper than already saved stuff. We all already saved that surrender to Jesus. You got to give it to him. Give him your cares. Give him your anxieties. Give him your fear. Give him your demons. Give him your trouble. Give him your finances. Give him your future. Give it to him. You give it to him, and you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, spread it out of roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green. I mean, glory to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're fed up. You're nourished up. You're strong. You got faith. You got joy. And you go about, and you're like, oh, they're oppressed. I gotta go. I used to talk to them when they was like that, but I'd end up, and we all in it. If you don't feel led, don't hang around with them people. I don't care if it's my family. I just said, I'm going without Teresa. She can go or not. She's going without me. And if she gets in a wrong spirit, I'm not gonna fellowship with that spirit. Not going to do it. Why? Because I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. See, some people won't tell you this stuff, but if my family is in a wrong spirit, I'm not going to get in that spirit. I can see the destruction of that spirit. I can see the downfall of that spirit. I can see how they're oppressed. My family's not. I'm just making an example. Close. So y'all don't get all your panties in a wad out there. Don't get all tied in a knot. Maybe if you are, you need untied. Because if you tell me, I'm not getting around you in the wrong spirit, I would applaud you. You're smart. I went to my neighbor one time, which was my cousin, and I quit going to church. I mean, there's something wrong with you when you quit going to church. I don't care what people say. I'm in Jesus. I don't give us that religious junk. That Bible don't teach that. That Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as a manner some are. And as much more as you see the end coming, the days approaching, encourage one another to go to church. So I go over there and I tell him, I said, listen, man. I said, don't look at my life right now as an example. And he starts to want to preach to me. I said, look, man, I don't want no preaching. If I won't preach, I'll go to church. I said, but I just want you to know I'm in a wrong spirit. I'm not right. I'm not going to church. I'm not right. And so you don't look at me. Because I done read in the Bible where it says, woe unto those who through the stumbling block comes. He'd be better off that a millstone was tied around his neck and cast into the sea and drowned. And I am not that kind of guy. Right? That's pretty deep saying, Jesus said. So I thought, well, I'd be better off to go tell him, man. You know, so they don't start looking at me in the example. Well, see, I don't need to be oppressed all the time. Like a little, show me you, Brother Scotty. We're going to pray for you. When I started back to church one time, backslid, I thought, you know what? I'm not right with the Lord. They better not nobody ask me where I've been. They just better keep mind their own business. Leave me alone. At least I'm going to go to church. So if you've ever been there, man, that's why I don't do it here. Oh, where y'all been? Y'all strangers. We ain't seen you in a coon's age. You got to use a minute now. Ain't seen you in a minute. That means 10 years. I'm not going to pick up that language because it makes people feel guilty. Just, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. We're glad. And then don't see them for 6 months. Oh, we're so happy you're here. Oh, glory to God. Happy you're here. We're glad you're here. I mean, don't tell them what you want to say. Where y'all been? Y'all know better than that. Oh, boy, because you go faithful, you can have a little hissy fit with your husband. Makes you better. Soil up like a little possum. I used to do it. Where Teresa see me sad? Show me you. Shut up. I'm depressed. Can't you see? And then she'd be like, well, suck it up. And I'd be like, fine. Good person you are to help me. This stuff really happens, Johnny. Yeah. It really does. But you know what? My wife needs to see me strong. Strong under pressure, strong, not giving in. The Bible says in James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It said, but let patience, let endurance have its perfect work, that you be entire, wanting, lacking nothing. And he says in 1 Peter 5 over there, don't think it's strange. I think it's what it says. Concerning the fiery trial that's going to over. See, Satan would have lied for me yesterday. I can't preach tomorrow, honey. I don't know why I feel this way. I was feeling grieved on the inside. Well, did you do something wrong? Nah, my spirits, there's something bothering me. I believe Jesus went and prayed these things, slung it off. I believe he drawed away when he felt that heaviness. I believe Paul carried that heaviness and gave it to the Lord. See, Satan would love for me to fail as a pastor. I won't. I'm called and anointed, and I know it, and I'm going. He wants you to fail as a church member. You won't. You're going. You're anointed. You're growing, and you're going. Why? Because you're getting stronger. Well, I've been this way for 20 years. Yeah, but it's going to change. Everything's going to change. God is moving. God needs us in faith. God needs us trusting Him. God needs us looking to Him. God needs us to stand against the devil. Hallelujah. Put that 1 Peter, I got, we ain't having to practice, so I'm going to take that time. No, I'm just kidding. Casting the whole of your care, this is amplified. Casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. He says, for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. He says, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. You ain't got time to not do it. He says here, he said, all your anxieties, all your worries, I have to cast the worries of this church. I mean, I come and half the people ain't here this morning. And I'm like, oh man, what's wrong with them? Hope I didn't offend them last service. Oh, Brother Scotty, y'all need not be concerned of that. Well, you take up my position. But it don't matter if it's pastor or bills or kids or what. He said, your concerns, just your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you. Be well balanced. That means you got to stop being a roller coaster. Stop it. Well, I'll go to church, but I didn't feel like it. Stop it. When are you going to stop that ball rolling? When are you going to stop that devil from bringing a thought you don't feel good? I come out of the bathroom this morning. I've been nauseated 24/7 for over a year. They've checked my stomach out. I come out of the bathroom, breathe, took a deep breath this morning after I eat breakfast. And Teresa, she said, what's up? I said, I'm just bad nauseated. She said, have you drank any pickle juice? I said, nah, but I'll get me some on the way out. I got I had her get me a gallon. I got that much left, honey. It soothes it. Why am I telling you that? I'm here. I go to work. I don't complain. I'm a soldier. I'm a warrior. You are a soldier. You're a warrior. He says, endure hardship as a good soldier. Right? He didn't say go home and complain and just quit looking to Jesus. Quit trusting in Him. He says, endure hardship as a good soldier. See, when you do that, I'm not telling you to put pressure on you, because once you do that, you're casting, you're balanced, then here comes the grace and the anointing and the ability that you need to be and become and do and shine like He wants you to and like He wants me to. It's all His strength. It's all His anointing. I'm sure, you know, I mean, I had a guy come in there one time, drug his suitcase. Right over here. I said, how's it going, man? I knew him. Well, I mean, the Lord wants me to sing a couple of songs this morning. I said, no, He don't. Not here. He looked at me and he said, no, Lord, you know, Lord wants me to sing. I said, not here, He don't. I said, He'd have told me about it for now. I said, I don't know about where you're supposed to be this morning singing. I said, but you ain't singing here. I said, you might as well drag your little suitcase back and put it in your car. See, y'all quiet is a... Well, what are you going to do? Just let all of them jacked up Christians in your living room and tell you how bad the pastors are and tell you how bad... He's trying to get in. He's trying to get in here. I don't know what he's going to sing. He could sing a country song for all I know. He might have felt inspired just to show how pretty his voice is, and I don't know what he's going to sing. I don't know what everybody's going to preach. Guy come in back there, and I'm sitting back there at the back, and he said, it's during Sunday school. Had his paper. He's evangelizing. He wants to go around, and he hands it to me. And he said, hey, you reckon you can make sure the pastor gets this? I said, I sure will. I said, I sure make sure he gets this. I said, yes, sirree, Bob. He's going to get it. Okay, man. I said, yeah, yeah. I said, why aren't you in church? Well, I mean, I got to let everybody know, you know, I want to go to their church and preach. I said, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm trying to hear Sunday school right now. Number one, you in the middle of my sermon. I'm trying to get something out of Sunday school. Number two, you ain't coming to this. I thought, pastor's got it, Lord. I got up and walked right back there. Poof, throwed her in the garbage can. Never looking back. Well, shouldn't you have prayed and fasted about it? God would have told me before He got here. But He tells me to be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant. Why? And cautious at all for that enemy of yours, not God's. That enemy of yours. And until you are not emotionally run by your flesh desires, I'm not even talking about bad ones, until you don't walk by sight, until you don't walk by your senses, and you're going to do the will of God, you are in very dangerous water with your enemy. Not God's. God's done defeated him. God has already defeated Satan. Now we have to choose to walk with God. And I know you are. I know you are, praise God. But you know what? Cast your cares over on the Lord. Don't be too anxious about major decisions. Y'all ladies don't need to be desperate about a boyfriend. Fast. Fast. F-A-S-T. Fast. Well, I'm only 17. Fast. Fast. Get before your Lord. Get before Him and say, God, I'm not going to be jacked up in my... I'm not going to waste 7 years and get a divorce, God. I'm not going to find out 3 years down the road she didn't love me and he didn't really love me. I'm not going to find out and have my life jacked up 5 years down the road, God. I'm going to wait on you, God. I want the right woman. I want the right marriage. I want the right man. I want the right relationship. I want the right boyfriend. See, most of the time when some of the teenager gets a boyfriend in here, like she did, I went to him and I said, are you saved? Huh? I said, are you saved? You're dating my children. Are you saved? He's like, I can't believe at that moment that he asked me that. Did he say that? He didn't? Because I was going to tell him, you can't have her. If you ain't born again, she's not yours. She's not your material. So if you bring a date here, you ought to come bring your dates to church. You won't be no kissing, touching, devilish stuff that could even hinder you in here. I went back there, teenager back there on that phone one time. I went back there, I said, what are you doing? I said, don't text in here. Put that phone up. Turn it off. I ain't seen them back. I don't care. Travis gets out on the job out there. Oh, you got little Bethy. Ooh, he can't do without her 7 minutes. I know how it is. I would steal a truck to go see Teresa. I understand, back when I was lost. I told him one day, I said, you better leave that truck, that phone in that truck. Leave that phone in the truck. You're not carrying the phone on. I mean, don't walk around with a job with two phones, one in each pocket. Bling, bling. Hold on. Grab the nail gun. Hold on. I'm getting a text. No, mama. Oh, John. It's just John. I'm not paying you to talk to John. So Travis, now he's 32 years old, been with me 16 years. He never gets his phone out of the truck. Beth's got a communication with him. If she desperately needs him, she calls the boss. Right? And she does. She'll call me. Hey, are you with Travis? And I'll say, yeah. I'll hand it to Travis. Why? That's ungodly. Ungodly for you to do that. That man or that woman is paid. I got to stop, don't I? But the devil wants you to, he wants you to disobey the Lord. He wants you to be out of the will of the Lord. He wants you not to be submitting to your boss and your company. He wants me not submitting to the people that I work for. People think you're in your own business. I didn't go to a lady service, and I'm gonna close with this. I didn't go to a lady the other day. I just thought, man, I want to work on this building. I just didn't go. I was supposed to went, Johnny. And every time I go to say my prayer over my food, I think about it. I'm like, gosh, I knew I should have went and got that. It's bothering me, Johnny. I mean, it's bothering me to no end, you know. I mean, over not going and tightening a bolt up. I am the boss. I'm really not, Johnny. If I'm submitted to him, then his will is supposed to be my will. And he wills for me to be honest and do what I say if I can, if it's any way possible. And so when I get there, I tell her, I said, I sure am sorry. I'm sorry. I just went in her house. I'm sorry. I prayed God I didn't get here like I was supposed to. Praise God, I'm sorry. You know, going, it's okay, sonny. I mean, she's an old woman bent over, you know. I mean, she just can't, you know. And I'm walking behind her, and she can't reach the doorknob. You know, and I just said, Father, I thank you, Lord, touching her right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. She'll stand up again. You ain't no problem. You're not hunched over yet. You know? Well, when I go to get paid, oh, it's okay. I apologize again. Oh, it's okay, sonny. She said, well, the Lord moved us here. And then she goes talking about the Lord, and her husband done gone on to be with the Lord, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, and all we got to do is stay ready, ain't it? I said, we got to stay ready. And I'm thinking, oh. So I left there and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Even the old woman's preaching to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I shouldn't do it, Lord. With your help, I won't never do it. How many knows that's the way you do it? That's the way you cast this stuff on the Lord. Lord, with your help, I'll be what you want me to be. Lord, with your help, I can do all things through you who strengthens me. Praise God. If you're here, let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you and thank you, Father, this morning for